Hello and welcome to this week's On the Box, where we talk and argue and, well, cover some weird TV news, don't we, guys?
No, I refuse.
We're making a silent protest this show.
Well, it wasn't much silent, was it?
No, it was basically me going, no. All right, okay. On the Box is part of the Geek Show Podcast Network. We like what we do. If you like what we do, then you can make a donation or buy one of our lovely bits of merchandise, which you can find on our shop. All of that is on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and various other places on the internet. And now, over to Andrew.
That's me.
Yes, because we
Is
have
he?
Andrew and we have an Andy who welcomed us in.
Yes,
Yes, that's
I'm here.
Andy. Yes.
I'm here,
And I
as
am Rob.
always.
I'm just checking we all have names. Andrew
I
has
think we
news,
all
though.
do.
Yeah, Andrew has news, though, that's going to lead us in, so.
I guess I can do. So I've got a terrible tragedy that we need to start the show off with.
Okay.
Turns out, in contrast to our earlier, let's just face it, magical reports of Conor McGregor possibly playing a dragon on Game of Thrones and just like tumble rolling into people.
Yeah.
Turns out that was all even more nonsense than we made it.
Oh.
Because according to Conor, he's never even heard about these rumours that he's going to appear.
Well, he has now, but
Yeah.
oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's quite sad. I was looking forward to Conor McGregor just being like the random face puncher. He just appears in a scene and punches somebody that goes, "Sorry," and then just combat rolls off the scene. And then
Yeah.
everyone just continues with the scene as if nothing's happened and let us never speak of this again.
Yeah, but is he just saying that and then we'll still see him anyway?
No, according to him, what happened is kind of quite a few months ago, after a fight, someone came up to him, like, off of a bit in Game of Thrones, and he basically just told him to F off, because he's in the fight business, not show business.
See, I thought it was going to be something a bit more exotic than that. I thought it was going to be Conor McGregor. One time, some reporter heard him say, "That Game of Thrones is all right."
Hang
And
on.
then it spun from there, as rumour do to, Conor McGregor is going to be in Game of Thrones.
I mean, that is absolutely how entertainment journalism works.
Exactly.
Hang on, was that a quote from Conor McGregor, the show business one?
Which one? Yeah.
Because
listen, he's saying, listen, come at me with shoop. I want to hear. I'm not trying to be in show business, I'm trying to be in the fight business.
But yet he wants to go in the WWE.
Is that confirmed that he actually wants to go into WWE?
I think there was a quote from him, but as you say, it's the media, so but still, if it is, that's a bit, what's the word for opposite of what he's saying?
Hypocritical.
That's it. I just didn't want to call anybody names. We don't
Yeah,
do
the
that on
last
this
thing you
show.
want to do is call Conor McGregor a big hippo.
Yeah, but if he listens to it, of
Because he's not
course.
in show business, he's in the fight business. Sorry, Connor, we're going to use that
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, though, like, apparently this guy came up to him, like, immediately after a fight.
True. And he's going to be tired. It might have been a really hard fight, you know? He's going to be hurting. So choosing that time to ask him a question like that is not good.
Yeah, well, like basically, like what he says is he's basically just been kicked in the knees for 25 minutes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'd be a bit angry if I'd been kicked in the knees for 25 minutes.
Did he win the
Well,
fight?
you know what, Rob? Maybe if you can't handle it, you should get out the ring.
But I like the ring. I like the
So
ring.
does. Look, I'm just saying, Rob, maybe this UFC fighting career of yours wasn't a smart move.
Yeah, but that's not a ring, that's an octagon.
Yeah, but
Octagon. If they can call it a wrestling ring when it's a square, I can call it a UFC ring. Everything is a ring.
I've just
Are we
I was
going
going to
down the
say
rings route?
that.
No, seriously, are we going down the rings route? Do we all have to grow our hair really long and wear it over our face and just shuffle around?
Yes, in honor of the new Ring movie, we're all doing that.
And the new Ring movie is apparently, let's see, what was the best word I heard for that described it? A big pile of donkey poo.
Is it a bit of a chutney slice?
No. Chutney slice has some glorious connotations as well. It's basically that used banana fritter over there.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have the same way with words that Rob does.
Anyway, Conor McGregor.
It's a bad film is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, Conor McGregor.
Is not going to be in Game of Thrones, and was sad. I was looking forward to random punchy Conor McGregor appearing in the scene.
He might show up in The Walking Dead or something, you know.
I doubt he's going to show up in The Walking Dead. Anyway, moving on to something else.
I would like some kind of crossover of just him, like, tumble rolling from show to show.
Oh, God. You just come up with the best show ever. Conor McGregor's Sliders.
Yes.
Where he basically, he opens a portal to another show, slides in, you know, combat rolls into the show, punches someone, opens the portal again and combat rolls out.
Like what Harry Hill used to do, but properly.
Yes.
He's in the fight business, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the fight business, not show business. But he could have both. Connor, you could have both.
That can be his Dr. Bones McCoy-esque catchphrase.
Yes.
Like rolls into Breaking Bad. I'm not in the drug-making business, I'm in the fight business. Bam.
Yeah.
Oh, we know everything is possible, because when I saw Devon Brown in Sherlock, I just went, what's happening?
Sorry, that was...
I'm not in the consulting detective business, I'm in the fight business. Bam.
Sorry. Andy's voice, when he said, what's going on? It was just beautiful. It had echoes of mass confusion. You're not meant to be here, Darren. You're meant to be on stage confusing people. Speaking of confusing, Andy, I believe you have something confusing for us.
Yes, well, I couldn't get my head around this new headline, but then I read the article and it sounds okay. Top Giga, host Matt LeBlanc, it's those two again that you don't want to hear.
Okay.
But uses Avtolos Shaman to rescue naked ramblers in trailer for the new series.
So,
and please, hang on. An Avtolos Shaman is a van. It's not like an Indian.
See, I thought.
I refuse to believe. I want to believe that Matt LeBlanc just showed up with like a wizened old Native American man.
That's what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking.
What? They rescue naked ramblers and guiding them to a trailer for the new
series. Oh, God, can you imagine if they were on a spirit quest and Matt LeBlanc was their spirit animal? He just turns up in a random.
Just piercing him with the waterfall.
And as long as he doesn't find his animality, he's fine. If any of you get that reference.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, Matt LeBlanc is a spirit animal. That would be a scary thing, wouldn't it? Especially if he was in his joy form. Because he's got several forms, hasn't he? He's got his joy form.
Like some kind of very limited animorph.
Yeah.
You can just swap between Matt LeBlanc's.
Yeah, he's got his joy form. He's got his awful space pilot form from Lost in Space. He's got his Top Gear form, and he's got that new sitcom he does form where he's supposed to be the number one dad. So he's got his number one dad form. Oh God, we're back to Papa Richie.
Anyway, this series, it's either this series is going to be really really funny,
yeah,
because the writing for this article isn't the best.
The writing for this article probably isn't the best.
I don't like using real names. We'll call this source Reflection, right? And because the little subheading underneath.
Is it that piece of household equipment that confuses the bejesus out of cats?
Mm.
They try and they get angry at it for some reason because they think that someone's starting on them when it's actually just their reflection.
Anyway.
It's the mirror. We're talking about the mirror. The trash subheading was the worst.
The subheading's even better. Former friend Star LeBlanc, 49, I didn't know he was 49, anyway, is also cornered by police in Montenegro while driving an Aston Martin DB11 wearing a tux. So I want to know how he's going to get this tux on this Aston Martin.
Okay, so I want to know why he was pulled over by the police while driving an Aston Martin and wearing a tux. Were you curb crawling?
Some kind of conspiracy.
No.
The police don't want him being people's spirit animal.
Yeah, but this is written as while driving an Aston Martin.
Yeah, but the thing is, they just said he was pulled over by police in Montenegro wearing a tux and driving an Aston Martin. They didn't say what he was doing. So my question is, were you curb crawling, Matt? We've told you not to do that. You have a good gig being a spirit animal. You know? Just be the spirit animal.
It says Matt and co-hosts Chris Harris and Rory Reed, so they must be the real hosts this time.
So they were curb crawling. Were they just leaning out the Aston Martin hooting at women? Like a bunch of hyenas.
Does that mean the hyena is actually like the king of the spirit animals? Because it is the spirit animal of spirit animal Matt LeBlanc.
Possibly. Yeah. We don't know. So anyway, shall we move on?
We'll move on.
From that very strange beginning to... Shall I go next?
If you must.
Yes. We'll move on to Kevin Sorbo, that bastion of television. So,
and film criticism.
Yes, and film criticism. Kevin Sorbo is going to be in an episode of... he's going to be in Supergirl... the series, and he's going to play another mystery villain. Yep. The Bisky cast...
Mystery villain, just Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah. Well, it might be. I don't know. According to this article, since his days as Hercules, Kevin Sorbo has brought such a strong presence to the screen, and we couldn't be more excited to have him join us on Supergirl. And, well, you know, it's Kevin Sorbo... I'm not sure what kind of supervillain or what kind of villain he's going to play. What do you think about it? Well,
so I've been doing a little bit of looking because I remember just randomly there's like this fairly obscure Superman villain called Terror Man who dresses like a cowboy and rides a flying horse.
Oh, God.
And that is absolutely who I want Kevin Sorbo to play.
Can you imagine if he did? Can you imagine if Kevin
Sorbo... Also, Conor McGregor can play the flying horse.
Maybe, but can you imagine if he was actually playing Terror Man? That would be amazing. Apparently, Supergirl's antagonists have included Draga and Cyber Superman. Yeah, not sure how to figure that out. I thought Ally McBeal was going to be one of the supervillains, but apparently Calista Flockhart isn't channeling that character. I don't know what to make of this.
Is Terry Hatcher supposed to be?
Terry Hatcher's supposed to be some kind of... Yeah, she's some kind of villain as well.
Yeah, but isn't Dean Cain already on the show?
I think Dean Cain is on the show somewhere.
So it's a Lois and Clark reunion.
It is a Lois and Clark reunion, but I don't know what they're doing with it. It's just all kind of weird these days, Supergirl. Like I said, it's one of the shows that I was disappointed with for last year because, hell... That whole you can't be super without supervision. Now they've got Kevin Sorbo, and, you know, I just keep imagining Kevin Sorbo's going to be channeling his role as film critic, but as superhero critic. Or maybe he's the new supervillain called The Critic, where he can destroy you with his words.
A superhuman disappointment.
Yes. You know, like Phoenix Wright has that objection.
Yes, he can do that, but just by screaming out disappointed.
Exactly. Supergirl turns up, she's flying at him to punch him, he goes, disappointed! She just flattened.
Gets something flying back.
Exactly.
Where's this gone off to?
Well, Kevin Sorbo has become a very interesting supervillain.
He still has the flying horse in this scenario, right?
Yes, he's still Terror Man, you know.
That's okay.
He's still Terror Man, it's just he's got another power as The Critic. And right now he's kind of confused as to which role he's playing at the moment.
can you even really tell Kevin Sorbo what role he's playing?
Well, after Series 4 of Andromeda, he pretty much got a free pass to do anything he wants. Because he did Series 4 of Andromeda. Nobody can tell Kevin Sorbo what to do anymore after that.
You don't give Kevin Sorbo a role. You just write your show around whatever it is Kevin Sorbo feels like doing that day.
Yeah, I think I think it was basically the entirety of the TV industry owed him an apology at that point for Series 4 of Andromeda. Because nobody knew what the hell was going on.
Anytime someone tries to disagree with him, he just holds up a DVD copy of it.
Yes.
And then he back down.
Everyone's just kind of, sorry, Kevin. And he just looks at him and goes, disappointed.
No, he just gives it the threat. Like, he'll open his mouth and say, dis. Yeah. And they'll just scurry away.
Yeah. Oh, look, Kevin Sorbo as blackballed. This has Black Bolt written all over it. I'm done. Oh, Kevin Sorbo is a disappointing Black Bolt. Oh, I'm done. And I can't go down that route anymore, otherwise I can't finish the show. So,
well, if that happened, I would be really...
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Oh... Anyway, back to Kevin Sorbo riding his flying horse, shooting out random bits of disappointment at people. What's next?
I think next I'll reassure Andy that it's okay. That was all things we actually said. You're not having a stroke.
Yes.
This show just...
gets stranger.
Yeah, it gets stranger every time we record another episode.
Yep.
I'm dread what it's going to be like in a year's time.
I'm not even going to bother trying to process that.
Anyway, it's me now, isn't it?
You are Andrew, whichever one. Go for your life. I'm done. Well, I'm just going to sit here and relax and listen to you guys for a bit.
This one is, well, you'll be talking in a minute, Rob, with this story, but this one is completely different to whatever we've talked about. Well, quite in a while, to be fair. And this is ESPN, you know, that really popular sports channel network in the US.
What does the E stand for? I think the SP stands for sports, but I can't be sure. But what does the E stand for? Is it entertainment or is it, you know, England, Elephant, Echo? The Elephant
well,
Sports...
England, cause, yeah, I think it might even be like England Sports Personality Network. Yeah.
Well, it's a US.
Not England. I said England now because you got England in my head now. I can't remember what it was. Entertainment Sport Personality Network. That might be it.
Well, it ends definitely network.
Yeah.
Anyway, the plan to broadcast a French soccer or football in this country. That's what it's supposed to be called. Esports tournament during the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But... this will be a replay of what the show, I think must have been a few weeks ago or something, EA's Paris regional final of the FIFA 17 Ultimate Team Championship Series. And so, that's Sunday, February 5th. So it probably already went by the time this show goes out.
Sorry.
But sorry. It's right in the middle of the Super Bowl, not at the beginning or at the end.
So the Super Bowl is happening.
Yes.
And ESPN, in the middle of the Super Bowl, are going to show a FIFA 17 competition.
Yes.
My first question is why? My second question is also why? My third comment is, are you stupid, ESPN? And my fourth question is, does anyone actually watch either of those things still, or do people just do what I do and just watch the highlights of the Super Bowl? Because sitting through 6 or 7 hours of bloody American football is a right pain in the...
I watch the highlights of the Super Bowl. I don't watch any of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
These are American times, so this is also... This will be... the Super Bowl is one of the... Well, it's one of the most popular things in America, isn't it, sporting-wise?
America!
It's like having the Champions League final here, and then halfway through it, they go, why don't you come over to this channel and watch the American football?
No, it's not like that at all.
I don't get it.
No, it's actually not like that. the closest example would be the Champions League final, right?
Mm-hmm.
But partway through, you get to half time, and then all of a sudden, Games Master comes on.
Except that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is on another channel, remember?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Why would you move? Okay, I can understand if you're into your FIFA and your esports involving FIFA or just esports in general, maybe you'll watch it. But be honest, guys. How many people watch esports?
Potato.
That's actually a good answer, Andrew.
Yes, I know that. That's why I said.
Now, seriously, you know, BBC did something recently where they showed some esports final or something like that. It got some decent ratings. It was a good idea, but it's the kind of thing that you can only do as a one-off thing, as a novelty. People will watch it as a novelty. If you put it in a position where it's challenging a real sport, I still don't class esports as sports.
Hang on, Rob.
Yeah.
It says we're expanding our competitive gaming portfolio to include events that also resonate with traditional sport fans. How does it?
Because it's FIFA and it's football. Oh, look. Oh, we're smart. We'll do a FIFA competition. There's nothing...
I guess playing FIFA is as much a sport as darts is.
Yeah, well, there's nothing more boring than watching a FIFA tournament. Seriously, taking part in a FIFA tournament can be fun. But watching a FIFA tournament, seriously, watching a FIFA tournament is one of the most boring things you could... It is tedious. And you have... the other players who take part in these online tournaments sometimes with FIFA are just as bad as, say, Call of Duty players or the ones who take part in the Super Smash Brothers stuff, the Nintendo fans, some of them are horrible. And I just don't like this idea that regular sports where people actually go out and train and stuff like that, because apparently people train to play FIFA. Like, really? People... What kind of training did you do? I played FIFA for 7 hours a day, every day. Did you go out and work? No, because my job is playing FIFA.
Yeah, but again, to play devil's advocate, that's no different to I went out and played football for 7 hours a day.
Yeah, but at least you're going outside.
Well, it's not so... Andrew has a point. You know, in the nominal sense, there is no difference between going out and playing football and playing FIFA. But... I don't know, maybe it's because I played a lot of sports, so I'm more of a traditionalist. I enjoy playing FIFA. I just don't enjoy watching other people play FIFA.
Yeah, like, I'll agree it's boring to watch, but... And, of course, the people are awful and the worst. But I can kind of see that if we were to live in a world where people did this competitively, I can see that, yeah, you'd probably need to train for, like, strategy and hand reflexes and what such.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, in Korea, where they actually treat video games as sports.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I've read a few articles on that, and, like, it's a crazy industry where, like, by the time you're in your mid-20s, you're this burnt-out veteran.
Yeah, but the thing is...
Past your bed.
Yeah, but the thing is, I actually understand it. I've looked into the Korean esports industry, and it is brutal. It is really, really tough, right? And I just don't think here in the West we're on that level yet. The Korean esports industry, you have a very short shelf life. It's very, very short. You either make your mark during that time or you don't. Whereas here in the West, I can name several Korean esports stars, but I can't name any from the West. I don't know any.
I can name any.
That's my point.
Suddenly feel like it should be the kind of thing where we have stars.
Yeah.
What happens if
you... I still really against the idea that we have, like, celebrity darts players.
Oh, don't, because I...
Phil the Power Taylor is a fat man who throws things that are bored.
They used to drink.
That is not something... Used to... They still do. He's... They bounce a pie and chuck some darts at a board like it's a pub night. That's... That's not something we should be forever memorialising.
Yes, I agree. And do you not remember Alex Higgins with the snooker? At least snooker took a lot of skill. Thing is, darts does take skill, and you do have to practice playing darts, right? But like all sports, there's a random element to it.
Oh, yeah, I can appreciate them being good at the thing they do.
Yeah. And this is my point. One of my issues with esports is that, right, when you look at traditional sports, right, there isn't a computer involved unless it's keeping score. Everything is just basically analog, let's say. So it's a foot kicking a ball. It's a bat hitting a ball. It's something like that. It's not controlled. There are no computerized parts to it. Whereas esports, it is controlled by a computer. And that's my main concern with esports, because it's very easy to trick computers.
Or glitch.
Yeah, or glitch or something like that. It's very easy.
Yeah, whereas in traditional sports, everyone is a good sportsman and plays by the rules.
No, they aren't. And we're looking at you, Russia. We know this.
Well, how even professional football, the amount of dives and rolling around on the, oh, God, my ankle, it's broken, it's horribly broken. Oh, no one's paying attention to me. Okay, I'll just stand up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Andrew, in esports, well, in, I think, I don't think they do it in FIFA, but PES, there's a dive command. You can press the button and you'll just fall over.
Yes, you can.
So you can actually do it on the game as well.
Yes, you can. And it's hilarious. I was playing PES. I thought, I'm going to dive now. Just my player randomly just falling over.
To make it hard, though, you need a degree to figure out what buttons to press at the same time. When
yeah. It is complicated. Anyway, shall we move on?
Like, I've played FIFA once, and I A, had no idea what the controls are, and B, also have no idea what the rules of football are, really. I'm just, like, mashing buttons.
Ball in goal.
Yes. The ball goes into the goal, and then you get a goal. And then the one with the most goals wins the game.
Exactly. But... so what I should do is get my man that has the ball and just run into the net.
Not your own net.
No, don't run into your own net. Do not do that. With the ball. That would be a bad thing.
Yes, good thing I certainly didn't do that several times. But then they switch the nets so that your net is the other net and the other net is now your... That's just unnecessarily confusing football.
Yes, we know. Anyway, shall we move on?
Fine.
Yes, I think so.
Right, okay. So, Andrew, I believe you have the last news story.
Oh, yep. So I have another bit of superhero news story, which is, of course, why we're doing this immediately after the first bit of superhero news story, like we've actually planned this out before. We even did, and we messed this up. But yeah, Black Lightning is getting a TV show. Hooray, I guess.
My first question to that one is, of all the DC heroes, why Black Lightning?
To be fair, like, as much as Black Lightning isn't really an A-lister, I guess he's still kind of important. Because okay. He was DC's first black superhero to get his own series.
Oh yeah, he was, wasn't he? Is this kind of DC and CW's answer to Luke Cage? Or their reply to Luke Cage?
So, but less stylish.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you said, it's on the CW. So I assume it's going to be same continuity stuff like Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl.
See,
and
I like,
Legends of Tomorrow, which I always forget exists.
Yeah, I like the fact that DC and the CW are trying to make this kind of TV DC universe type thing. I like the fact that they're doing that. I'm just not too sure about... because we've seen all of the shows getting progressively worse. You know, Flash is... oh, look, I need to beat another speedster. Oh, look, I run in front of the bad guy and tell him to stop instead of running up to him, punching him in the face, and then telling him to stop.
And Arrow is, I frown and shoot arrows.
Yeah, but I don't kill people anymore. And I didn't
get... in this series, I frown even harder than the last series.
Because I'm trying to be Batman. No, really, I'm trying to be Batman. And I'm not going to get punished for all those people I killed in the first series.
Yeah, probably not.
You know, ever. The reason I'm not going to be punished, I spent how many years was it on that island?
5 years on an island, Rob.
Yes.
And now I've returned, but to save my city, I need to become someone else. I need to become something else. Do, 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 do. And that's how it starts.
Yes. There is a bit in, because you know he calls it the Arrow Cave or whatever. There's a bit in Injustice where Injustice Gods Among Us where Mockingbird is talking to Harley, and Harley says to Arrow, you should just call
I'm curious as to how Marvel superhero Mockingbird got in the DC universe.
Sorry, not Mockingbird, Black Canary.
Yeah, that's who I assumed you meant, because they're basically the same character.
Yeah, Black Canary and Harley Quinn are talking to each other. Harley's kind of in Green Arrow's protective custody because Superman wants to kill her. And she says to Green Arrow, why have you called it the Arrow Cave? It's like you're trying to copy Batman. Why didn't you call it the Quiver? And Black Canary goes, that's what I told him. I ruined that story, didn't I?
You did.
We're not cutting
that. And
we're
going to bask in this awkward silence now.
Yeah, we're not cutting that, are we?
No.
Okay, right. So Black Lightning is getting a TV series. What is the story of Black Lightning anyway?
Yes.
Are you frantically looking online for the story?
Based on the DC character, Black Lightning is about Jefferson Pierce. He made his choice. He hung up the suit and his secret identity years ago, but with a daughter hellbent on justice and a star student being recruited by a local gang, he'll be pulled back into the fight as the wanted vigilante and DC legend Black Lightning. I mean, obviously, Rob, everyone knows that's what Black Lightning is about.
Obviously. Okay. Shall we take...
Literally, the only things anyone knows about Black Lightning is that he's black and he shoots lightning.
Yes.
But I do have an interesting story about his comic book origin.
Yeah.
So, turns out the original idea for Black Lightning was actually kind of the most horrible thing ever.
Explain.
It was originally a different character called the Black Bomber.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, this is DC's first high-profile black hero.
Yeah.
Whose origin story was going to be that he was a white neo-Nazi who was cursed with the superpower that when he yelled out, black power, he would turn into a superpowered black man.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Red, but I would watch that straight away.
What? My voice went so high-pitched, I actually got an echo. He was a white neo-Nazi who, when he yelled out black power, would turn into an African-American superhero.
Yep, like Captain Marvel, but really racist.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I can't think of when he shouts out black power as like a really... well, what's the word? Like a really... different kind of Power Ranger.
No, no. The Black Ranger was not like that. Not like that at all. Sorry. I'm worried about the Power Rangers movie now, Andy. Thank you so much.
That's okay, because this would have only happened once. Because, you know, once you go black, you can never go back.
Not according to the Black Lightning origin story. Can you imagine if American History X was like that? That'd be a very different movie.
Actually, that would be a much better ending if Edward Norton just went, well, I've learned my lesson now. Black power! And then just like flies off as an Afro-clad. Turns into like Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes. My question, though, right? Black Lightning, obviously, Black Lightning was around before Static was around, okay? Static and Black Lightning are basically the same character, only different ages, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
So why not just have Static instead of Black Lightning?
Well...
Do you see my point?
I mean, I want to say that Black Lightning is... like, I don't even know which is the more popular hero.
Well, Static got his own cartoon series, didn't he?
Yeah, well, I guess.
And are they
maybe
actually...
Maybe there's, like, more of an idea that Static is kind of like a kid's character.
Well, what's wrong with that? That's my point. Static's kind of, if you wanted people to watch it, then... I know that they're trying to reply to the glory that is Luke Cage, but I think instead
of... it's probably not even, like, that much like a, we're going to try and do our own Luke Cage. But what I mean is the CW shows of like maybe target audience they want is perceived as being a bit too old for Static. I mean, it could just be because DC do love their older heroes.
Yeah, true. Static was a Steve Ditko character. I don't know.
No.
That's a different Static. Hang on. All right, there were two Statics.
Static, I'm sure, was like a 90s character, maybe?
Yeah, there was a Static who was created by Steve Ditko, and there was a Static created by Dwayne McDuffie, Dennis Cowan, Derek Dingle, and Michael Davis.
Yeah, that's the one, because like for Milestone Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, it was all about a whole line of comics, like Black Heroes.
Mm. Yeah, Static Shock was the comic book series. Oh, God. The enemies in Static Shock are called the Bang Babies.
I remember the Bang Babies being somewhat ridiculous.
Yeah, you had Hot Streak, Tarmac, Holocaust.
You're one of the characters.
Yeah. Commander X, Puff. Literally, that's the name, Puff. Coil, Snake Fingers, Rift, The Swarm, Dr. Kilgore, Rubber Band Man.
I remember Rubber Band Man was my favourite.
Yeah, Bratatat. So yeah, Bratatat.
Snake Fingers, though.
Oh, God.
Did he have snakes for fingers? I need to know.
I don't know.
Rubber Band Man.
Yeah, hang on.
Bet you he was flexible.
There's some even better ones. Bratatat, Prometheus, Jump and Burn. I wonder what his ability is, or her ability. Boombox, Laser Jet, Run.
You're in it.
No. There was one that was just called Run, but the best one of all, Power Fist.
Oh, God. Sounds like something Nintendo would make.
Other Bang Babies that Static came up against.
Power Fist of the Bang Babies.
Yeah, exactly. Other Bang Babies that Static encountered included Virus, Destruct, and Hyacinth.
One of these names is not like the other.
Exactly. Allies of Static Shock included the Blood Syndicate. Okay, fine. And I'm sorry, but you said Milestone Universe was all about, you know, black superheroes and stuff like that. Yeah?
Yeah.
So why would you call some of Static's allies the Shadow Cabinet?
Oh, dearie me.
Exactly. And apparently there was also a storyline involving the Dark Side Club. Not Dark Side as in Dark Seed.
Oh, Rob, you lied to me.
What?
He's only Snake Finger singular, which is still pretty awesome, though.
Has he got one snake?
But yes. But no, that's weird. He has multiple snakes on the end of his hands. But why is he only Snake Finger singular?
No, his name is Snake Fingers. In the wiki article.
Well, according to Comic Vine, he is just Snake Finger.
Yeah, but Comic Vine can be wrong.
And in this one picture, he doesn't even have snakes on his fingers. Does he like have? Looks like he has just like a giant snake.
Anyway. Let's take a break there and reset.
Muscly men in tight, scantily drawn women, and plenty of controversy. Only on 4Panel, the Geek Show's exclusive comics and manga podcast.
Hello, do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week and do it reasonably well.
And welcome back to On The Box. Now we are going to be talking about what we've been watching. So, Andy, what have you been watching?
Well, this will sound really weird. It's nothing like anything weird like I've been watching before. But I've been watching. We've been watching.
Iron, what?
Oh, the show is called We've Been Watching.
I was confused for a second there.
Anyway, this is... It's on... what used to be UK Gold, now it's just Gold. And basically, this will sound very familiar to you two, no doubt. You get loads of comedians, two at a time, sat on their own sofas, and they watch classic sitcoms.
Okay.
So technically, it's Gogglebox with comedians and actors watching sitcoms but that also watched their own sitcoms. And it was really good. Basically, the first episode we had one of the programs of Red Dwarf. You know, Red Dwarf 10, it was the Jesus episode.
Okay,
and
you
had,
yeah.
Both Craig Charles and I keep forgetting his name. Is it Robert Llewellyn?
Yeah, Robert Llewellyn. Crichton.
Crichton, yeah. Yeah. I always get the names mixed up. But they were just sat there watching this episode along with the other celebrities. And it was really good. If you like Gogglebox, you'll love this. But you had John Challis, for example, watching Only Fools and Horses, where it was where they had to look after the dog and then the poker episode.
Okay.
And it was absolutely hilarious. But you get the funniness what you'd get from Gogglebox. But you also get the little hidden stories of how they filmed it. You know, when they're talking on the sofa.
Yeah.
So, it's really good. I would recommend it.
Okay.
And that's We've Been Watching on Gold.
It's a bit of an odd concept for a show. But I like the idea of it. Is it always comedians watching their old stuff? Or are they watching other people's stuff?
It's like a cast for the show type of thing.
Yeah.
Similar to Gogglebox, where you get the reactions from different people.
Yeah.
But one of those sets of two comedians or actors, it would be their show.
Okay.
So like you had Ricky Tomlinson and Ralph Little watching The Royal Family, while you had also reactions from John Challis and Craig Charles and things.
Okay, so... Okay, I kind of get what you mean now, yeah.
You do get times where it's none of their shows, so it is just literally like Gogglebox, because when they're watching Markham and Wise, for example, Markham and Wise aren't there, obviously.
Yeah, I get that. So I was just kind of wondering if it was comedians watching their old shows that they were in, or were they just watching old shows, old comedy shows in general?
It's both.
Okay.
But you had some of the cast from the IT Crowd watching the IT Crowd as well, so that was funny.
But, well, like Richard Ayoade was watching old episodes of the IT Crowd.
But Richard Ayoade hasn't been on it yet, but I want to see Richard Ayoade. I think it was Catherine... I forgot her second name.
Ted?
No, Catherine...
Bigelow?
Parkinson.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Cool.
I recommend it.
All right, cool. Andrew?
There's a bang baby named Dog. D-O-G-G. He's a dog.
Are you still on the bang babies?
It's amazing. So they were called Destruct.
Yes.
So were your reactions then to We've Been Watching?
Boogeyman, a bang baby with the ability to turn into a humanoid rat.
Anyway, Andrew, what have you been watching? Because I know you now want to replace Black Lightning with Static Shock, don't you?
I need these live-action Boomby. This will make me even happier than that one Flash episode with King Shark in it.
Yes.
Which, now that I think about, was actually two episodes.
But anyway, what have you been watching, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, I've been watching another DVD box set that we got sent in.
Okay.
It's called The Young Pope.
Oh, right. Isn't this the one with Jude Law?
Indeed it is. It is Jude Law playing a pope. A pope who is considered pretty young. I think part of sort of the joke is that he's the young pope, but he's like 50 years old.
Okay.
It's just that it's like everyone else who's higher up in the church is kind of like in their 60s, 70s and 80s. So he's like considered just this child of a pope.
As you do, because 50 years young should be out. And
exactly.
You should be out playing football with your friends, you know, skipping stones, playing cricket, you know.
And can I add, child of a pope sounds like an old-fashioned insult.
Yes, it does. That's a good one, Andy.
You young pope.
Yes, you child of a pope, oh, you.
I think that could be the next chutney slice.
Anyway.
So yeah, The Young Pope, it basically follows, he's Pius the 13th is kind of his pope name.
Yeah.
Follows him trying to work out how to be pope, And also, I would like reconcile the fact that he's basically been going through his own crisis of faith because he was abandoned by his parents when he was really young, which his entire life, like, resenting a lot of the church.
Okay.
Because it's kind of that idea of, like, the church as a family. But he's kind of thankful for that, to find his own parents. So, yeah, Pius, whose name is actually Lenny. Yeah, his name's Lenny, as I remember.
Lenny?
So he's going around. Lenny.
His pope.
He's Jude Law playing an American pope. He's not like Italian.
Okay. So he's Pope Lenny.
Well, no, he's Pope Pius XIII. But his real name is Lenny.
Okay.
You seem incredibly amused by the name Leonard.
I am incredibly amused by the name Leonard.
What's wrong with Leonard? It's a strong, noble name.
I just never heard of a Pope Lenny. And I know he's called Pope Pius, but he's also Pope Lenny. He's both of them together at the same time.
I mean, I imagine a lot of the Pope's names would sound ridiculous if you actually put their real name as the Pope name.
Are you telling me? I'm
curious to find out all the real names of popes.
Yeah, are you telling me that there was that there is a possibility there was a Pope Gerald?
God, I hope so.
Because that would be amazing.
Pope Horatio.
Okay, so anyway, you were talking about the young Pope Gerald. Lenny.
Lenny. So Lenny's going around. And things get kind of weird. Like, he gets this big idea about the best way to save the church is basically tear it down, make it so that everyone hates it, be like really hard line on abortion and stuff.
Okay.
And refuse to show his face in public. So that he'll build kind of this idea of the church being this really small, exclusive thing.
Okay.
And that'll get everyone back.
Okay.
So then you've got basically like all the sort of slightly stuffy establishment figures running around, kind of, it's a mix of, oh no, he's going to ruin our cushy life, with, oh no, he's also going to destroy the fundamentals of our entire religion. It's an interesting show.
Is this a drama or a comedy?
It's mostly a drama, but it's got a lot of comedic moments in it.
Okay.
Which I really, because they're usually like a mixture of really weird and surreal.
Yeah.
And this kind of Wes Anderson-like, just having a really deadpan response to like quite absurd scenarios.
See, this sounds interesting to me, because you remember that TV series The Borgias, was it?
Yeah, yeah. I think we talked about that coming out a while ago.
Yeah, I think we did. And this kind of makes me think of that, only more palatable. Does that make sense?
Sorry. It does seem more like of a funny, like, spin on, like, a serious thing, from what I've seen of it.
Yeah, well, I think like it's kind of quite inherently quite dark and serious, so it needs a lot of humour to basically make it an enjoyable experience.
Yeah,
I think one of the highlights is they get a package from Australia, and they open it up, and it's a kangaroo.
What's still alive?
Yeah. And the Pope just decides he's going to release it into the papal gardens.
Okay.
So you get these scenes of, like, people sitting around having this quite serious conversation, and then a kangaroo will just hop around in the background.
See, you said kangaroo, and it makes me remember that YouTube video of the guy running over to save his dog, and he punches the kangaroo. They're like, wow.
That is a fun video.
Well, the thing is, there was loads of people in the comments on that video just saying, oh, it's animal cruelty, like, the Aussies regard kangaroos in the same way we regard rats. So, anyway.
It's also quite suicidal. Kangaroos can be vicious.
Yeah, I know. It took a lot of guts. I mean, he was going to save his dog, and the kangaroo could have killed his dog easy.
That kangaroo could have killed him pretty easy.
Yeah. So, him running over and punching the kangaroo took guts.
But yeah, the acting is also very good. Like, I think this is probably one of those shows, if the main character wasn't played by Jude Law, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah. Jude Law has that weird kind of, he's got that smug face down to a T, doesn't he?
Yeah. And, like, it's basically the thing Jude Law does best of being, like, really smug and at times quite a horrible person.
Yeah.
But then it'll just, like, give a little cheeky smile and you just have to go, oh, Jude Law.
You just want to ruffle his hair and go, oh, you scamp, you.
Like, I even love it in, like, the title sequence, because it's basically him, like, walking down a hallway, in, like, this very sort of saintly pose, you know, kind of the hands raised to the chest.
Yeah.
Head lifted in quite a dignified way. Also, whilst the cover of All Along the Watchtower plays, which is pretty rad.
Okay. But then
it ends with him kind of turning to camera and just giving a cheeky little wink. It's just so, oh, Jude Law.
See, this sounds really fun.
It is. It's a lot. It's something that's enjoyable to watch. Like, the camera work is really nice. And obviously, with it being set in the Vatican, there's lots of lovely set design. I like a show like that.
Yeah.
It's a treat for the eyes is what it is.
Okay, cool. So this is a recommend from you then?
Oh, I would definitely recommend it. Oh, also, he has like a nun with him who's like basically a surrogate mother figure, played by Diane Keaton.
Really?
Yeah, good old Diane Keaton.
I think I'm going to have to sit down and watch this when I can. This sounds like a lot of fun.
It has Diane Keaton dressed as a nun sinking hoops. Like, what more do you need?
Diane Keaton dressed as a nun playing basketball.
Shooting them hoops, dropping them baskets.
Wow. Sorry, that's all I can say to that is, wow.
You see, everything you need in a TV show.
I'm pretty much done. You've sold me. I'm not a huge Diane Keaton fan, but anything weird like that, you know, where it's weird and a little bit serious and a little bit fun, I'm down with that. I'll give it a try.
Okay. My work here is done.
Yes. So we are at the end of the show then. So we will see you all next time on The Box. If you want to catch up with all of our old shows, you can find them on our website or on YouTube, on Mixcloud, soon on iTunes. We're working on that right now. Until the next time we share our experiences in TV land, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.
We'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening.